Good morning.
Good morning.
So I have a few minutes. So somebody put a watch there to remind me. So I tend to be long-winded. So if I'm still preaching by one, you're still here. You're okay. Amen. Good. I'm really honored and very happy to be with you this morning. I've been looking forward to coming for quite a while now, communicating with Chang and Kathy, and of course Christine, and we're so thankful for the modern technology of email and Facebook. We got away from smoke signals. It's kind of messy, you have to build a fire. But I wanted to be here and I really look forward to it. And I'm here, amen. I left Monday morning, about 6 in the morning from New Mexico. It was very cold. It was 27 degrees. And I've heard lately it's been down there every night. So any day now, we'll be expecting some snow. We live in a high altitude along the Continental Divide. It's about 8,000 feet above sea level. And we get about 4 feet of snow in the wintertime. So it's a lot of fun. I have pictures of being stuck in snow and my truck, a real big truck, 4x4, sometimes gets stuck in there. And I have a picture of my mom with snow up to here and standing in it. So it's a beautiful country, and temperature varies from about this time of the year from 27 at night to 80 during the day. So it's you layer in the morning and throughout the day you delayer. You become an onion. And I wanted to show my appreciation and gratefulness to some of the people that have come into my lives. And my one of my staff members makes pottery. She does this for a living. She signs it and puts Dene on there for Navajo. So she puts Navajo in there, but she wanted to go back to using Dene. Sometimes Dene is spelled D-I-N-E with a slash on top of the E, but she spells hers D-I-N-E-H because people see Dene spelled D-I-N-E. They think it's time. It's time to eat. So this first one I wanted to give to the Changs, would you come? And they become good friends of mine. Bless you. Oh, that's upside down. All the good stuff fell out. Where's Mr. Jonathan? Thank you for bringing a group out and coming to our nation. We love what you're doing, ministering to our kids. They really need to hear, and your love for them has been just excellent, and we love you for it. Amen. Oh. I didn't know who to give this last one to, but last minute this morning, I was coming in. I decided to give it to Mr. Martin, the missions director. Well, you're in missions, so come on down. Come on down. We love people who are in missions, and your parish is the world. Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, here. I wish I had enough for everybody, but come out to Navajo country and I'll have one waiting for you. Everybody would show up, right? There's some pictures of a Navajo woman with a baby in the cradle. They're out there on the table. You feel free to take one. And the founder of the mission that I am director of drew that picture and gave me the copyright to it, so I reproduced them. And I was a cradle board baby. I grew up in one of those as a baby. And they're very handy, I think. They just prop you up on the tree, and you're there, and mom goes and does whatever she wants. I have also some of these. Oh, it's a commercial break. I have some of these out there. We reproduced them. We ran out the original, so we did. This is just a little brief history of the, here it says Dine, but it's Dine, okay? Brief history of the Navajo people. I put some of my own comments in there to show from our side. Most of what's written has always been written by non-Navajos, non-natives. So these are out there, so you feel free to get some. And of course, Jonathan brought out the brochures. It just kind of tells us about what we want to do. Right in the middle is some of our vision. We're doing a school of ministry for pastors and leaders. We're teaching pastors. That's, I believe, the key to reaching our people is leadership. And then the second is outlet for ministries, like your youth group coming out. That's great. I really, really love that. We continue to encourage those. And Resource Center, we want to re-educate America about who we as natives are. We're not running around hooping and hollering and naked and riding bareback. Native, urban, a lot more people, of our people live in cities. I think there, and here in this city, there'll be a lot of native people here. And I don't know if there's any ministries reaching out. I found out one thing about urban native churches is it's really hard to establish a native church because there's so many different tribes in the city. And if you do one, you put a pastor in there, maybe one of the tribes, it just becomes that tribe's church. It doesn't become. So my suggestion was to use the local churches and bring the natives in to be part of it. I think this would be a good place for that if we find some natives. There's a lot of ways. I'm part of the Bloodhound. I know where they are. I can find them. So you can reach out and have a native congregation here as well. And world outreach. We're really wanting our people to recognize that they can be missionaries, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to the entire world. We have Navajo people just about everywhere in the world, even overseas where they have served in the armed forces, Vietnam, Germany, Russia, all over the place, even up in Alaska. You know those little tiny dotted islands, the Aleutian Islands? 7 hours from the mainland, there's a Navajo over there. I don't know what he's doing there, but he's over there. So we want to minister to the world. God has given me great opportunities to travel across the country and overseas to minister the word and share people about who we are. This fall, we're really very, very busy. As soon as I get back, we have a group coming out to minister to our people, teach our people about, practical things like how to handle your money and how to start a youth ministry and stuff like that, that we really need. And then in September, we have a pastor's appreciation breakfast where we try to bring all the people who are working on novel reservation as many as we can get to show them our appreciation by providing breakfast for them and just saying thank you. And of course, Christmas. And then Christmas through the New Year's, Urbana will be involved with that again, Urbana InterVarsity. And then January, I'll be in Mexico, Monterrey, Mexico. I'll be ministering there for about a week. And then February, I'll be back over here in Atlanta with the College of Prayer. We have world prayer leaders coming together to pray with each other, to help each other, and learn the needs of each other's countries. So I'll be back again. I'll be glad to come back over here. Well, I didn't hear amen. So that's what we're doing. I want to go to the scripture that we put up earlier was Matthew 4, beginning with verse 12. If you grab your Bibles and turn to those scriptures. I didn't bring my novel Bible, so I'll be speaking from the English Bible. The New King James, what I'm reading from. Matthew 4, verses 12 says, "Then Jesus heard that John had been put in prison. He departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Isaiah prophet, saying, 'In the land of Zebulun and in the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And those who sat in darkness, or who sat in the regions and shadow of death, light has dawned.'" And then the last one, verse 17, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" I really didn't know what to speak to you about, but we wanted to learn about our situation and the missions to our part of the country. Our Navajo people are really receiving a lot of ministries from all different groups across the country. Even non-evangelical ones, those that are kind of on the fringes of what you call weird religions. A lot of them are coming into our area and finding an easy, receptive people. Our people seem to really just absorb, just take in whatever. And it's interesting that we can take or glean from everything and call it ours. And I tell my people sometimes they're just like sponges or tape recorders and just take everything in. There's so much of that going on the Navajo Reservation. You've got all kinds of different people from different areas coming in. So we're in that situation, and I wanted to bring to you what is taking place at the moment. I want you to notice from the scriptures several words, several phrases. Number one is, they have seen a great light in verse 15 or verse 16. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And the second phrase is, light has dawned, the latter part of that, verse 16. And then right in the middle there, it says, those who sat in that region, a shadow of death. Interesting phrases taken from the Old Testament, and Matthew is quoting it here in the New Testament. And my thought is that a lot of light is coming into the reservation. The light of the gospel, the light of what will change lives and what will touch lives and what will make a difference in the lives of the people. And when the sun comes up, the light is shown. If there's something in the way, it casts a shadow. And whatever is in the shadow, if it's if there's any kind of plant life or something that is trying to grow, they eventually just don't grow as much or withers away because it stays in the shadow. And this morning I thought about what is blocking some of that light that has been shown on the reservation with the light, and then there's a blockage there. And the blockage is not only confined or only on the reservation. You only not only see it there. I think it is across the country as well. Everywhere we go, it seems to be a similar situation at this day and age. There are things that is blocking it, and we're not receiving the full benefit of the light that is there. Number one, I'm really grateful that light has come to our part of the country, especially to my people and the native people. I represent all native people from across the country, and there's about 500 different tribes in America with five different dialects, different ways of looking at things, different ways, different dress, different lifestyle, and there's some of them have, very few have similar languages. Maybe the Apaches are sort of a cousin to the Navajo people because we understand our language. They talk a little bit faster than the Navajo people. So Apaches are close kin to us, but the rest of the nation, the rest of the native nation, they are just different. So as far as the blockage is concerned, first, the light of understanding that is coming to us is great, but the blockage there was what happened when the first light began to come on the reservation. It's when the missionaries and those others who have brought the gospel to us, when they first came, they started to do things a little bit different that kind of started to block what was to come and really change our people. And that was whoever brought the gospel, that when they came, they wanted the people to be like them. You got to dress like me. You got to talk like me. You got to act like me. You got to talk like me. And all that thing has taken place. And it kind of blocked it out, where the gospel could have been diffused much more quickly and touched more lives. It didn't happen because most of our people look at this and say, I don't want to be like that. I can't be like that. That has blocked that light. And I think a new day and age today is we're really recognizing this as a mission missiology, the new thinking, a new way of looking at things is we can't go into a community or a different culture and try to get them to be like us. It's drawing attention to who we want them to be like. Jesus Christ is drawing attention to say it is Him, it is He who will change your life. I'm so grateful for those that are in my mom's parents, my mom's family members, they really came to the gospel and they really got a hold of it. So I'm a product of the missionary as well as as my aunts and uncles who became Christians as well. I have a very colorful family, very interesting. My aunt is Mary, who really raised us. My parents were killed when I was only 16 years old, along with my grandmother, along with my two brothers, the youngest and the oldest, in a car accident. So it was my aunt who took over as our mom. And she raised us, and she raised us to believe in God. She raised us on her knees praying, and that's how we came to the Lord. And she was very a miracle worker in her own right. She prayed for things, and people used to say that because she lives on top of that Continental Divide, right in a high place, that when she prays, her prayers don't go that high, don't have too far to go to reach heaven. So that's when. Then I have my another aunt who is still alive. On the way over here, one of them passed away. She was 97 years old, and I wanted to see her again. I was hoping that she would still be alive by the time I get back. She was in the hospital and already going down fast, but she didn't make it. So hopefully I get to see the family, visit with the family when I get back. But one of my aunts that's still alive, I call her Shotgun Annie. Her name is Ada, but we call her Annie. So I call her Shotgun Annie. All by herself, she halted an industry to a stop. People were going by her house day every day, calling gravel and creating all kinds of stuff. She tells them to slow down, they wouldn't do it. So she put her truck across the highway and stood there with a shotgun. Albuquerque is 120 miles away. Here comes the news people in their helicopters, Channel 4, Channel 7, and Channel 13. And the owner of the gravel company came from Phoenix and flew in an helicopter, and they're negotiating with Shotgun Annie. And I have another aunt who passed away last year. I call her Hot Rodding Annie, or Hot Rodding Hope. Her last name was Hope, or her name was Hope, but she drove a hot rod. It was a Mercury, 1956 Mercury station wagon, four on the floor and dual glass packed with a muffler at the end of the muffler, silver pipes going down like this. And you can, if you drive that on a dirt road, you know, it's blowing that dust in the swirl as she's driving. And you could hear her coming 5 miles away. Vroom, vroom, you know, just a fun family that I grew up with. But these were the ones who taught me faith, to believe in God. The light came into their hearts and they passed it on to me. And I'm grateful for a lot of young people here whose parents are, last night I told you to give yourself a pat on the back. You're doing a great job. Amen. So we can't make people like us. We've got to make them like Jesus. And then the second one is the breakdown of initiative. Everything is done for me, is what seems to be the situation with our novel people. The missionaries come and the people come and everybody's, they do everything. They do the singing, they do the offering, they do the preaching, and the people just sit back and be ministered to. Never really have any initiative to get up and do something on their own. It's that kind of room or the light that was shining. The light's supposed to add life, some get up and go to our lives, but our people have just kind of laid back. The government was guilty just as much. The federal government will do this for you, will do that for you. Everything was done. We didn't have to do much of anything. But the gospel is a life-changing thing that will change your life, and you can get up and go do something. Conquer your world. Conquer your whatever you need to go. Set some goals and go for it, and you can do whatever you want to be. Amen. That's what the gospel is supposed to do. And then there's the gift of knowledge was suppressed. We were told you can only do so much. This is the ceiling. You can only get up to this. You'll never go beyond. You can never be leaders. You can never be doctors or lawyers or anything else, engineers. We were taught that. But our people are breaking through. Amen. They're becoming more and more aggressive in the things that they need to do. We have people as senators and representatives at the White House. And we have doctors on staff in the hospitals on the reservation. So we have lawyers. I was fortunate when I was pastoring a church in Farmington to have the Supreme Justice of the Navajo Nation as one of my members in the church. So people the initiative is there. We just, the gospel, when the light is blocked, it blocks that initiative. Some of them, the shadow, it should be that we can do greater things. And the knowledge, to give a knowledge and so forth. And then true holiness was misunderstood. It was a breakdown of the human spirit. Most of our people don't think of themselves, they in their own ways, they call themselves a holy people. They consider themselves a holy being. Something that we look at ourselves and this is a temple of the living God. But when the gospel came, it said it's right. But it got to a place where the people were being told, you're not worthy enough yet. You haven't arrived yet. You haven't get there. But I believe that the minute you take Christ into your heart, you become a Christian, God is there. You are a holy person. God says you are saints. Amen. I believe that. You look in the mirror and say, you're a good-looking saint. Smile some. Walk with spring in your step. And then what was taught was so different from so many different groups on the reservation, confusion. That also blocked and cast a shadow on what was to bring life. Was so many different teachings, so many doctrines, that Navajo people say, which is the right one? So many of that. And but when Jesus, Jesus' method was he brought the gospel, the true light, and cut down all the blockages. He cut down popularity and personalities. He dwelt in the midst of those people, incarnated. He took down the Zebulun and Naphtali means habitation and resting. Where does God live? How do I know God? He got to where people that were wrestling with that, he brought them to a place where they knew God. And even the word, Isaiah was quoted. The word of God is being spread on the, there's no fighting over which is the right word of God. And the last one, a total change of life. And that's repentance. I want my people to be repenting and confessing and coming true to that true light of the gospel. I want to see that, not only with my people, but across the country as well. I'm ministering to other tribes, to other nations. I've been going overseas to different cultures, and even now I'll be going to Mexico. I want to see that light continue to spread out without any blockages. Amen.